end of Lama Beis, I plan after we finish Divrei Hayyam to learn Eoyv, Sefer Eoyv. Yeah. Sefer Eoyv. I want to thank Mr. Because you don't get a job.
You're going to have to do it today. Come back, watch video of this rap. I've used the term before, we're winding down, and I'm trying to wind up. So when they wrote on that, you have to blame me. This is wrote on Yeshayah.
Okay, let's learn. End the Perek Lamed Beis, we have Sefer Rashi's. Let's just start from Pasuk Chavav. Let's start from Pasuk, the Rashi, Pasuk Chav Hei. We'll go back to Chav Hei, just review the Rashi's. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chav Hei, V'loi Ki Gmul Olav Heishif. V'loi Ki Moshe Gamal HaKadosh Baruch. Before I conclude, I wanted to say two things. First, I want to thank Mr. Bloom. Mr. Bloom partially sponsored the cost of Sefer Eoyv. If anyone wants to contribute, I have to buy Svarim for the Shia and the Klaus Kedala Sefer Eoyv. If anyone wants to contribute towards the cause, so please see me. That would be very helpful. And also I want to wish a mazel tov to Dr. Fruchter. He's making the Shabbos Shalom Zohar and a bris, a birth of his grandson. B'shatoy v'matzlachas, neinikol. B'shatoy v'matzlachas, shenachnis l'brisoy, avram avinu b'itay v'zmanay.
Give
him
my
bag.
Where is it gonna be?
I have no
Jewish
car. Center. I've never had a car.
On 86th Street.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
We're all coming.
Make
room.
If the roads are clear,
make room. Special Shabbos bus. I'm Nani Akovo.
Go to the morning of Israel for the journey.
Special Nani Akovo. Lamala me asar tfachim ain't chulim the Shabbos. We have it all worked out. Okay, so back to the Rashi. Rashi pasuk chav hey here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticizes the pasuk criticizes Yechizkiel that he did not repay Hashem in accordance to the goodness that Hashem has done to him. Hashem, there were two major events recorded here. Hashem healed him from his illness. Number two, Hashem saved him from the enemy Sancheriv. We learned this yesterday that according to Rashi, the Iker is that Hashem healed him from his illness. Hashem healed him from illness. Rashi focuses on the tzar of the choli, not the tzar of the enemy. Ki gav alibo, he became arrogant. Sheher loy eskol beis nechoso, he showed to the father of Nebuchadnezzar, or his grandfather, it's not clear exactly who this person was, the king of Babel, who was the new world power after the fall of Asher. He showed him his treasury. The way the Pasuk presents it in Malachim is a house of spices. Somehow spice in ancient times had represented something very significant, which I think, at least to me, is totally lost. What is the great significance of exotic fragrances?
The only way you can keep food spices. Yeah. Spices. That's why Columbus went to discover spices.
That was a preservative? That's what it was all about?
The Roman soldiers were paid, some of their salary was paid in salt.
Yeah.
That's where the word salary comes from.
Because so salt was so valuable because it was
right.
A preservative?
Yeah,
it was a preservative? Okay.
It was very valuable.
I hear it theoretically. It's obviously very hard to relate with because we're so far removed.
The only way you could preserve.
Yeah, I understand. I remember at Belson, I was in the show, used to say that in ancient times, how did you refrigerate, how did you preserve meat? Walking, his term was walking refrigerators. What does walking refrigerators mean? You don't slaughter the animal until you need it.
That's why you're able to chef.
Walking refrigerator, today you slaughter meat, you can preserve. How long can you preserve meat, fresh meat?
6 months.
Six, really?
And before it gets freezer burned.
Wow, 6 months. Burn. Those days, that's it, the refrigerator walked around.
It's in refrigeration and it's home and exactly the right temperature.
And how long can you preserve steak like that? Even longer. Wow. Very interesting. Okay, but these things, obviously, we're not really we can think about it theoretically, we can't really appreciate it was if we're not living it during the times. He showed him his spice house, and again, we learned yesterday, Chazal tell us that it's a lot more than that. He showed him the luchos, ad uvichol memshalto, and further, he showed him his entire malchus. He gave him all of the access to all of the satellite images of what was going on in his entire malchus. He was too kind. He went too far in being kind, too nice to him. Why? Obviously, it was because this was the new world power. Bavel was a new world power, and he wanted to right away get an in, be on good terms, and that was a sign of his lack of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Veil of Ketzav al Yehudav Yerushalayim al Zos, for this sin, and there was anger. V'yakosev ha-sefer hazeh kotzroi kan lefi shekosev b'molochem v'yishayu. This is the theme which is going to pin out the end of the sefer. End of the sefer, we're very quick. Everything is going to be written very short. We're winding down very quickly in the end of sefer b'molochem here for the next few parakim. And we're assuming in all the details. V'yikona yechizkel b'goy v'alibo. He was humbled. When Yeshayahu approached him and told him, you're going to die when Yeshayahu came to him and criticized him for showing the king of Bavel the luchos, he immediately said, Chotasi. He took the midah, you see this midah of David HaMelech, the reason why he was king instead of Shaul is when Shaul was confronted by Shmuel for his sin in not killing Agag. Parsha Tetzav is normally Parsha Zochar. When you read the Haftarah of Agag, what did Shaul say? I didn't sin. He denied it. Cover up. Right? All great men have failed in their cover up. Not the sins and not the transgressions and not what gets you. It's the cover up. He said, I did not sin. I have done nothing wrong. I have listened to your command. And then slowly he had no choice but to confess that indeed he sinned. But by the time he came around to confess, it was too little, too late. David, this is David's hallmark. This is David's legacy. When David was approached by Nosson Hanavi and said to him that you sinned with Uriah Basheva, or with Basheva and Uriah Achiti, what was his response? No ands, if and buts, chotasi. Chotasi, that is possibly the greatest mila, the greatest midah of David HaMelech to confess to sin without any hesitation. And here you have this in Chizkiyahu, who was the reincarnation of David. Right? We keep on saying that over and over again. The Chizkiyahu HaMelech felt that he can be the David of the generation. He did have this mila, that when Yeshayahu came to him after he sinned by showing the king of Babel the luchos, he right away said, Chotasi. Without any ands, ifs, and buts, he acknowledged his sin. And because he acknowledged his sin, the Churban was stalled for a very long time. Was stalled for a very significant amount of time. And it says, and it certainly did not happen in his lifetime. His sins were so great, it appears from Sefer Melachim, that Hashem wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash in his lifetime. And because he repented, Hashem said, it's not going to happen in your lifetime, and he was satisfied with that. But that's something very important to take note of. Good, I hear that I have sinned, I repent. And the goymer uchish and nichna, and when he humbled himself, loybo alehem haketzef biyamav, at least that much, it did not come upon him in his lifetime. Pasuk chavzayim ulchol klechemda, also in the oitzaris, the parak winds down and presents all the different accomplishments of Yechizkiyahu. He made oitzrois, he made storage houses, umisginos, latvua storage houses for grain, kol oitzrois hatvua neufaloymar, al oitzrois hatvua neufaloymar, Miskinos. B'chol Malkam Kamo Orei Miskinos Lefar V'chein Le'el. It's a term which is an exclusive word used in reference to grain. When it comes to other things, Klechemdo, you use the word an Oitzer. Hashem has an Oitzer in Shemayim. Oitzer in Shemayim of Yerush. A granary. So it's a Miskon. A Miskon, today in modern Hebrew, that's not the way it's used. The Miskon today in modern Hebrew means a storage, right? It means a storage room. You don't use it for grain. But in biblical Hebrew, Miskan Rashi, at least Rashi tells us, he's exclusively for grain. Oitzer is used for all things. Hashem has in Shemaim an Oitzer of the Eim Eloya Kashbroch V'Yolam B'Shemaim as an Oitzer of Yirah Shemaim. Every time a person acts, an expression of Yirah Shemaim, Hashem stores that action in his Oitzer. It doesn't say a Miskan, because an Oitzer is something different. V'chein La'el, even Tidmar Bamidbar, he built I don't know what that word is. Tidmar Bamidbar. Where is this pasuk? I thought I prepared this. Ve'elul perik beis pasiches. Okay, Tidmar ba Midbar v'es kol ori miskenos asher. I guess it was a city. He built that city in the Midbar v'es kol ori miskenos asher bana b'chamas. The al karchach letzarch tuvu asher Midbar lohoy lo itzar zav lohoy lo itzar zav v'chesaf. The reason why it says he built miskenos was because you don't need in the desert. You don't need there gold and silver. Then we have another term here, v'uravos. That word appears often, not pretty often, not it appears every so often. V'uravos. That is, it's tablos, gedolos, stalls, barns, special places for animals for them to eat and for them to hang out. Lamet. What did he do? What else was his accomplishment? What else was his accomplishment? Pasuk Lamet. He was sosam es motza meimei gichoin elyon vayashrem lamata ma'arava. He closed off the source of the Gihon River. We discussed this yesterday, the symbolic significance, the machlokes with Chachamim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avos Rebbeinu Nosson. Rashi says he has closed it off. Hinhigam derech yashar. The word vayashram is the waters were directed to go in a straight path. Hinhigam derech yashar lemata. Seemingly this means underground. I think that's what they say today based upon modern research. The tunnel, the source of the Gihon was really underground where Melech Asher would not know where it was, would not have access to it. Lamata Ma'arava Le'ir David on along the underside and towards the west, directed towards the west of Ir David. Next, Lamed Aleph V'chein B'Melitzei. B'Melitzei, there was one thing where he made a mistake. Going back, he was good. The pasuk says that everything that he did was good. Well, not everything. Most kol means most, except it was one problem at the end with the Melitzei of Bavel. Melitzei means Sheluche. Dugma. Ki hamelitz beino som by Menashe. Menashe was the melitz, which Chazal tell us, between Yosef and his brothers. Yosef overheard his brothers saying, "Avol Hashemim anachnu alochinu asherinu tzaras tzaras nafsho b'schanu elin v'lo shamanu." And Yosef, he turned. Yosef, the brothers did not realize that Yosef was listening. Yosef understood their language. They were speaking in Ivris, and Yosef, they thought was a Egyptian. They had no, they did not realize they knew Ivris because Yosef was their brother. Ki hamelitz beinosam, the melitz was between them. There was an interpreter, so Yosef really was listening. Bein, so the melitz is the same term here. Bein hashaleach lemishalach lemishtaleach, between the messenger and the recipient. And this word melitz goes going backwards. In other words, the pasuk says Chizkiyahu was successful b'chol. And the mitzvah we learned yesterday tells us b'chol does not mean literally b'chol; it means most. Most of what he did in his life, he was successful. The achar kol ha'toyv hazesh itzlicha kadosh baruch hu. After all of the success, Ozvoy Hoelokim Lenasoso, Lodas Kol Bilovovo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ozvo, abandon him. Now, abandon here, it's hard to really to know what, how it's being used. Abandon meaning that after all of the success Hashem granted Chizkiyahu, Hashem, so to speak, Kavyocho, let his guard down, did not help him succeed. But just was passive to see, to let Yechizkiyahu act on his own and to see if Yechizkiyahu is really sincere, is really an Oyvid Hashem. Ozvi Elokim Linasos, Hashem did not assist him. Hashem just let him go at it on his own for the purpose of testing him. It was a test. Lenasoso lodas kol b'levavo, to know what's really in his heart. Biyad, what was the test? How he would react when the messengers of Bavel would come to verify the miracle that the sun went backwards 10 hours. Biyad melitze sorei b'chol, biyad to the messengers of the sorei Bavel, hamishalchim elov, that was sent to him. And what happened in the story? They sent messengers, lidrosh, to inquire, hamoifes hashohoyo ba'aretz, le'omar bin, to inquire if it's true that the reason why the sun went backwards 10 hours was a sign to Chizkiyahu that Hashem would heal him. Le'omar bin Yisrayon, Feher Elohim, he was not Oyim Ben Nisoyen, he was too kind to them. Feher Elohim, it's called Beis Nichoso, Umeseifa l'reisha nidrash, the pasuk has to be read backwards because it's not really clear. Pasuk lamed aleph, if you read on its own, So really, you have to interpret the pasuk backwards. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Azavo Elokim Linasoso. So Hashem abandoned him. Abandoned him doesn't mean that Hashem let him free. It means that Hashem was not giving him special siyata d'shmaya. Hashem was looking to see, what are you going to do when I'm not helping you? Read the pasuk backwards. Hashem was azovay v'lokim l'nas to test him. L'das kol b'vo. When did this happen? It happened when Hashem sent him. Now we go to the beginning of the pasuk. B'melitzei sarei bavel ha-mishalchem olav lidrash ha-mevis ha-shohoye b'aretz. The test was, Hashem sent him these messengers from Babel to inquire about this miracle, to see how he would react. Would he be too kind to them and try to ingratiate himself by showing him things that he should not have? Or would tell them that you have to tell them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he failed this test. Okay, so that's what it means looking at the pasuk. We have to read this backwards. It's a long pasuk, and you have to read the end of the pasuk before you read the beginning of the pasuk to understand the context of the pasuk. Then it goes on to say that he died, and he was buried in Bimala in the ascent. So simply means in the hills. Here Rashi takes the word Bimala means in the best, the choicest. Bimala, Bimetav, Bifush, Bisoy, Perakamba, Babakamba. Mala means in the best graves, right next to David and Shlomo. He was meant to be the David and Shlomo. So this concludes the story of Chizkiyahu, the way it's presented here in Sefer Divrei Hayam. There are just a few midrashim. It's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that they gave him kavod asula b'moso. What was the honor they gave him when he died? So I'll read you this from Eicha Rabba. But the Gemara says something very similar. Ma kavod asula. Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon, Rabbi Yochanan bar Nechlaku, Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon Omar. Beis vad banu l'malam mikivro shel Chizkiyahu. They built a base medrash on his kever. They built a base medrash and in other words, to say, so what's the purpose of the day? Rishah shahayu holchem l'sham hayu oimim lamdeinu ilu hayu lamdeinu Chizkiyahu hayinu yoidim tov yoiseh. So simply it means that it was a way of saying that he was our Rebbe, he was our teacher. We know that was his hallmark, one of his great accomplishments, that he restored the love of Torah to Klal Yisrael. So they established the Beis Medrash on his kever to show the chibah he had for Torah. Interestingly, there's a very interesting halachic discussion if you're allowed to learn within Dalet Amos of a mace. Loyig l'rosh cheref oseyu. Everyone knows halach, when you go to a kever, you're not allowed to have your tzitzis hanging out. Because mesim are chavshim in hamitzos, mesim can't do mitzos, and when they see that you have a tzitzis hanging out, they have chalisha sadas, that they're in a world where they don't have an opportunity to do mitzos. So you're supposed to put your tzitzis inside your begadim, which not be exposed. It's even brought that, I think I saw this in the name of Chaim Knievsky, if I'm not mistaken, even when you go to a woman. Let's say you go, a woman is not chayv in tzitzis. Mitzvah says she has man grama. So if you go to the kever of a woman, is there an inyan of putting your tzitzis in your garment? So he says, yes, even though there are not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah, and it's still a reminder that they are not shayich in mitzvahs.
There was probably men buried in the neighborhood.
Well, that's another issue. Well, you go to the real heavy duty Haredi cemeteries, a lot already.
Kanievsky is buried two rows away from the.
I'm just giving an example. I'm not coming, of course. We know the biggest gedolim, they're buried next to their wives. So now this is a new thing today.
There's a samach on the yeshiva because it says Bamala. I don't know if anyone's been in Beis She'arim. Beis She'arim has catacombs of Rabbi Yehuda and all the.
Yeah.
So you walk. It's like you walk into the mountain. There's a door in the mountain carved out. Inside there, caves, extension tunnels, and in there, sarcophaguses.
Yeah.
Actually,
and
they call that
a mountain. On top of the mountain, there's like a in the rock shell. Benches. Cut out.
Yeah.
So the yeshiva was on top of the kvarim.
Interesting.
But the kvarim, you don't see the kvarim because it's like on top of the cliff. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
The side of the cliff. So Mila Ahar, you couldn't make a yeshiva right on top of this cave if he was buried down the hill.
Tumma, right.
No, because you couldn't build. Let me just go before
you come to your question. Maybe we'll answer your question. Now, there's another issue. Are you allowed to learn within Dalet Amos? The answer is no. You're not allowed to learn within Dalet Amos of a Mevi. This is a very big mistake. People daven mincha in the cemetery.
Right.
Go for an unveiling. You're not allowed to daven. No, you're allowed to say Tehillim in front of the kever. It's a good thing. You should say Tehillim.
You do say
Tehillim. And you should say Tehillim. You're saying Tehillim not to the mace, by the way. That's Pashit.
Right.
You're saying Tehillim to Hashem. Hashem, and in the zuchus of the mace, in his merit, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer our tefillos. Or some say, you're being mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should have rachmonis on the mace and should elevate their neshama to a higher level in Gan Eden. But you're not, when you're davening Tehillim for the mace, or you're davening in the zuchus of the mace, that's fine. But when you're davening a tefill of choiva, of shachris, mincho, or mariv, you're not supposed to daven within Dalet Amos of the kever. That's a bracha, that's a special takana, what you're supposed to say, but it's not a nusach hatfil. The nusach hatfil of chayv, those are special things that were made, established bedavka for the mace when you come to the cemetery. But daven mincha is brought down in the halachas of going to the cemetery, all different places. When you go, the people make this mistake, you daven in the cemetery, you're not supposed to daven mincha by the cemetery. If you really need daven mincha, you should distance yourself more than Dalet Amos away from the kvarim, go to the side road, wherever it is. You're not in there, it's an immediate vicinity, that is okay.
Right.
Learning is the same thing. It's not proper to learn. So the question is, but it's the Farshas Gemara. The Farshas Gemara says that they established a base medrash on the kever of Chizkiyot. This is where it all comes from. And in fact, in Beis Shemesh, one of the big things they have in Beis Shemesh, they have the cemetery, they advertise all over, it's the Beis HaChaim Cemetery in Beis Shemesh. A lot of organizations have purchased karka there because buying a harazesim is very dangerous today, unfortunately. It's very hard to go to harazesim unless you really know what you're doing. And Har Menuchos is really packed solid. So they have, it became very popular. A lot of organizations, they have one of the milas they have there. It's right, but it's been, I heard people I know personally from my own, from my parents are there, is they have a koilel.
Yeah, there's a yeshiva, nice building.
There's a koilel that's part of the deal. The people in the koilel, they learn, I guess they're paid.
But the guys in the koilel. Are the hotheads, those the ones...
Okay, I don't know hotheads.
I'm telling you, these guys in the Cairo are the guys that, if they saw you in the street, they would throw rocks at you that you're apocryphalist.
Okay.
These are the guys in the Cairo. Until they take the money.
But part of the deal of learning is that when you need a minion... They come out of the Beis Medrash and they're there for you. That's a very good... It's a very good advantage of having a koil, but it's a nice thing. This is a place of Mokum Torah. The whole cemetery has, and where does it come from? It comes from Chizkiyahu. If I'm not mistaken, it's the only place Chazal does mention this concept, is when he died, they gave him great honor, covered gadol. They established a yeshiva upon his kever. They established yeshiva, and it doesn't mean within Dalet Amos, because that would be Loig L'Rosh. It means in its vicinity, and it was there as an honor that Chizkiyahu, his Chavivas, he established Torah, he restored Torah to Yisrael, and is deserving that there should be yeshiva in his honor right near his kever. I've seen this by different gedolim, that they went at their levaya, if they were mechaber svarim, they put on the mamish put on or right along the side of the kever, of the coffin at the time, they don't bury it, but at the time of the hespedim, his svarim. I remember I once saw a video of Rav Shach's levaya. Of Shachs, I was a little kid and I saw they showed a video. So I never saw this before. It was the first time I saw such a thing. So they had his coffin, and right, mamash, right on the side of the coffin, Avi Ezri, his svarim, were right there on his, like this was his accomplishment in life, his chidushei Torah. I saw this as someone else also, I don't remember who, where they actually put, it's a geder, putting the person's svarim, obviously is an extension of Osle Kovid Gadol. This was him. This was his accomplishment.
Like the decorations of a soldier on his...
They put the flag.
If he has medals, they take the medals.
Okay, so there's something to it. It's not to be made light of. It's definitely a person... it's not something to be made light of. that a person gives their life, his mois and nefesh for the country. There are a lot of veterans.
You were talking about the men and the women being separated, or whether or not in Haifa or in places, even in Yerushalayim, if you want, everyone's entitled to a free burial spot.
Okay.
If you're Israeli.
Okay.
I think they make more money in out of paramenuchas from the Americans and the French than they do.
Of course.
So what happens if you have one of the spouses died earlier and you want to be buried, unless you have bought a pay a lot. But even then, there might not be space around. So they have a new system where they bury the first spouse, let's say, 15 feet underneath.
On top.
They put on top of him a metal, a cement block, and
layers.
3 feet of sand or 4 feet. And then they put another, like they have in Florida, what do they call this? A vault. It's a cement box.
Right.
And the second person who dies.
Bury on top.
They put on top, and then they have a giant matzeva for both.
And what matzeva for both on top?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's not cheap. They charge like
$100. But at least you're saving space. Interesting. Okay, it's
this is the Haredim.
Okay, another thing that he did, another interpretation they did is Omar. What I really told you was the second interpretation. I'm sorry that I jumped ahead. The second medrash, the second opinion says the kavod gadol they gave Chizkiya was not that they made a yeshiva. They actually put a sefer Torah. They put a Sefer Torah, Nosnu Lamala Mikivro Al Shulchizkio. They said, Kiyum Zema Shakosov Bezeh. And that's what I meant to say, is that that's an extension. They're taking the swarm of Talmid Echam, who writes swarm, putting this swarm right near their kever. It's an expression of he was Mekayim this. One thing I did see, very, very common. What? No, you don't. You don't, of course not. No, no. No, they bury Sheamus. There's a custom that they bury Sheamus. That once they're burying a person, so they put it on the side. People come, they put in a Sheamus in the same, once the kever is open, in that open space, they put in Sheamus.
But here they buried?
No, they did not bury the Sefer. No, no, of course not. Of course not. They put a Sefer Torah right near his Aron as a symbol. As a symbol. Kiyum zeh mashakosov bezeh. It really borders on what it says about Yosef. When Yosef traveled in the Midbar, there were two Aronos. There was the Aron HaKodesh, and next, the Aron HaKodesh was the Aronos Shel Yosef. And people would ask, why are these two Aronos side by side? Yosef, Atzmos Yosef, and the Aron HaKodesh. Kiyum zeh mashakosov bezeh. Yosef was Mekayim, what it says in the Luchos, what it says in the
Aron.
He was, so he was metame. That was, that's a discussion. Tzadik and that metame, it's very, that's a very,
Tanaim,
they were the ones who were carrying, they were carrying Yosef. Oh, but if the Lubavitch Rebbe is not metame, how could Yosef be metame? Okay.
He doesn't have a cover after Matan Torah.
All right, I'm not going that direction, even though I already did. But
stay above sea level.
That's
how long did the Sefer Torah stay there?
How long? If for a short period of time, it doesn't say. Obviously not forever. Obviously not forever. One thing I did find, so it's very, very common. They do write on Matseva. It's very common that they write and they list all the names of the svar in which the mechav, which the person wrote. Now, writing a nusach on a Matseva, l'chor is a very modern thing, a very new thing. You know, when the mekor of Matseva goes from a rochel, Yaakov put a stone al Matseva. Does it say that he wrote a nusach?
No.
I don't think so.
No, that's what the Mepharshim say. He Matseva's Gras Rachel Arayom, that was just
a stone.
It's just a stone. That's just the Matseva, a marker.
Marker, right, that's it. Tumah.
The Hespid was who she left behind.
This thing of writing a nusach is a relatively recent thing. How old is it?
2,000 years. They have old Matsevas.
With nuschos?
Yeah, with different nuschos. Aisha, whatever they have old Simon, old.
Yeah, 2000, yeah, they had Nuschos on the Matzeva.
They try to analyze it. They find different languages, just like Ladino.
Because about, like, they always talk about the Magen David. So they try to trace the earliest source of the Magen David. I don't remember all the details, but one of the early sources is the Matzevas. They have old Matzevas. But in those Matzevas, it didn't say anything. It was just to show it's a Jewish burial spot, and it was the Jewish symbol. They weren't Nuschos.
Sure, it was. He found that Matzeva, that they thought was the brother of Yoizel.
Yeah.
It said, actually, it was scratched out. They found the Matzevas from Kehanan that were buried.
Yeah, they have Nuschos?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like our Nuschos.
Okay.
So they have a picture of Elazim and Hurkinus.
Yeah.
That he had
Sukkim
on it.
Sukkim, but could be those were later on. Those were later. It could be like originally it was a tradition. The family knew where it was. This was the stone of Marco. It was an oral tradition of where it was. And later years, they began to embellish it by
you know, Frankfurt, you see the old Batsavis,
why in Eretz Yisrael they painted everything blue? All the Matzevas are blue.
Arabs paint blue.
No, all the Jewish Matzevas are blue also.
They have like lead inside. If you want to pay more, everything is a business.
Yeah.
They charge you 3 shekel, I think, a letter. Now, if you engrave a letter, it rubs out of it.
Right. They put lead inside.
You put lead inside.
Right.
So I rub out of juice.
So then once you want to pay extra, they come once in the end, they sand it down, and it should look nice.
Perpetual care. Okay, let's go further. Okay, so this is the basic two opinions. This is a very important pasuk, the Chavoid Oslo B'moisai. Okay, this case. So this pretty much concludes the inyan of Yechizkiyahu, and the Mepharshim point out that Yechizkiyahu was a very great person, but was yet a very sad figure. He did not reach his potential. Chazal make it very clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu complained that he did not reach his expectation, his full potential. He could have been Melech HaMashiach had he just gone a little bit further. They criticized him in regard to these, specifically the two faults. Number one, like we just read, he did not, he was too kind to the king of Babel. And the second fault was that he did not sing Shira. He did not capitalize upon the fall of Sancheriv to use that moment to propel Klal Yisrael to the next level, to bring Melech HaMashiach. He had all the potential of David, of Shlomo, but he failed to bring Klal Yisrael to the next level. And that's being highlighted in Sefer Divrei Hayamim as a source of motivation for the people living in Golis. Don't let this happen again. The moment is ripe. Klal Yisrael, the time of the Bayis Sheni, when Koresh gave them a shus to return to build the Beis HaMikdash, they returned and they built the Beis HaMikdash. The time was ripe. Things were happening in the world. There was excitement. Don't let this be another failed Chizkiyahu. Now we go down Perek Lamed Lamed Gimel. Let's just do some Kapsuk Ben Shteim Esrei Shonoch Menashe B'Molchos. Who took over? He died. Who took over? Menashe B'Molcho. We learned that he really had two sons, Menashe and Rav Shokei. Rav Shokei died, or Rav Shokei was not selected. He was 22 years old. The Molcho V'Chamishim V'Chamish Shana, a very long king, 55 years. Molach B'Yerushalayim. Vayas Horah B'Einei Hashem. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem, kisoyavos hagoyim, like the abominations of the goyim asher hoirish Hashem ibnei bnei Yisrael. A whole new expression. Until now, when we describe the evil ways of what Yerovam ben Nevat did, that the king of Yehuda followed the people of Yehuda. They were influenced by the people of Yerovam of the Malchei Yisrael. Here, there really was no Malchei Yisrael anymore. They were gone. They were already exiled at this point in time. And now it was influenced by the goyim, like the abomination of the goyim. Hashem ibn Yisrael, Hashem drove out from Bnei Yisrael. Vayoshav, he returned. He went back to the olden days. What did he do? Vayiven es habamos asher nitatz Yechizkiyahu. He rebuilt the bamos that were demolished by Yechizkiyahu. Aviv vayokem mizbechos labaolim. He built altars for the Baalim, for different types of Avodah Zarah. Vayas Asheros, Vayishtachu, Ribaudel, Lucholzo, Hashemayim, Vayavodosam. We mentioned once in the past that the Baal was an Avodah Zarah that related to the sun. Asherah was an Avodah Zarah that related to the moon. Okay, so these we don't really know Baki in these in Yanim, but Baal is a son of Odeh Zarah, Asherah is a moon, so that's why the pasuk really fits perfectly well. Now I have that piece of background. You have here, Hashem says, don't bow down to the sun, the moon, and to the stars. And you see all three coming together, the Baal, the Asherah, Vayishtachu, L'chol Tzvo HaShamayim, the stars. Full-blown Avodah Zarah, yeah.
How do we define Horish in Pasuk Beis?
Drove out. Hashem chased out, he drove out, drove away. Hashem drove away these people in the, before Klal Yisrael because of their abominations, because of their sins, and he chose to worship the same gods that they did, which was the reason why Hashem got rid of them. So we're no better than them. That's what the pasuk is saying. So now we have over here the Baal, Asherah, and the Kechavim. Vayavod Oysam. Pasuk Dalid, Uvono, Mizbechos, the Beis Hashem. He built a Mizbeach in the Beis Hanif. This was the new thing that he did, the known as the world. Ubono Mizbechos, we had Ochos also built that altar, the replica of the Mizbeach of the second one of Aram. Ubono Mizbechos, the Beis Hashem, Ashama Hashem, Yushalayim, Yehiyeh, Shmil Yolam, in the place where Hashem said that my name shall be forever. So he insulted Hashem by introducing another deity. Hashem said, this is my place. What are you bringing into my city, into my place, the Mizbech, in honor of another god? Vayiven Mizbechos L'chol Tzva Hashem. We built more altars in honor of every single star. B'shtei Chatzroit Space Hashem, in the two courtyards. What are the two courtyards? In the Azara both were in the Azara. The Metzuda says one is the Ezras Kohanim, the Ezras Yisrael. The Beis Hamidrash, the Azara, was divided into two parts. There was the first, in the Bayis Sheni, it was only really 11 Amos, was the Ezras Yisrael, and then further in was what was called the Ezras Kohanim. And we mentioned this in the past, that we really don't know what the Bayis Rishon looked like. I know you can buy a book, there are many books out there, I have most of them, that have all the different models and different dimensions of what the Bayis Rishon look like. But the truth is, if you look in the Hagdamah, all these Svarim, we don't really know what the Bayis Rishon look like. We have a basic. We read the Psukim, and we try to do the best that we can. We have much more details. It's more recent, the Bayis Sheni. At least we know the Bayis Sheni more so, the Hordis, the last 100 years. The last 100 years of the Bayis Sheni, the first 300 years of the Bayis Sheni, it could have been very different. It could have been a lot of changes. We don't know exactly what it looked like. We just tried to figure out based upon the text. We don't have any pictures or any real detailed details. We just tried to figure out. But the Bayis Rishon was much different. And after everything is said and done, a lot of what we imagine the Bayis Rishon, we try to take the Bayis Sheni and just adapt it to what it says in the Pesukim about the Bayis Rishon. But we did learn a while ago that there are indications that the Azara in the Bayis Rishon was much larger than the Azara in the Bayis Sheni, specifically the portion called the Ezras Yisrael. In the Bayis Sheni, the Ezras Yisrael was only 11 Amos. You come into Shar Nikinor, right? You come into Shar, you go up those 15 steps, and you come in the massive gate, Shar Nikinor. You walk in, you have not more than 22 feet. 22 feet is how big? From here to the end of the room over here? That's where the Yisraelim can stand and observe. If you have to bring a karbon, you come there, you have to be tahar, you can stand there, you can observe what the kohanim do, but you can't go more than that distance. The kohanim, then it comes with the levim stand, and the kohanim stand, and where they do the avod. The only exception was Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, it seems they were allowed to go into the Ezras Kohanim. It appears, we learned this before, that in the Bayis Rishon, the Ezras Yisrael was much larger. It was a very significant area. And the Azor must have then been much bigger. It could very well be that the Ezras Noshim was much smaller. If there was a shortage of space, the whole Har Bayis is not all that big. Maybe it was, we don't know exactly. And that really fits very well into this pasuk. It says here that he made two Mizbechos, where in the two courtyards, the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Kohanim. If you look at the model of the Bayis Sheni, or the models of the Bayis Rishon, where we have it, it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like the Ezras Yisrael is that large that you would give it significance in calling it a separate Azara where it would be Kedai to build a Mizbeach. But if you learn that the Ezras Yisrael was much larger than the way we picture it, then indeed the Pasuk here makes a lot more sense that it was a very significant area. And in the Ezras Yisrael, he built a large Mizbeach, Favodah Zarah. And then when you go further towards the Heichal, there was the Ezras Kehanim, he built another large Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah. This is an interesting Pasuk to take into account when we try to figure out what exactly the Bayis Rishon looked like, where there's a change in the makeup of the Azara. What else did he do? Menashe, he offered his children as an idol to Moloch. For who heavier as Bonav Boesh, Begay then Hinnom. We borrow this expression. We call Gehenim, comes from this. The valley of Ben Hinnom. It was a valley called Ben Hinnom, and that's where they offered their children to Avodah Zarah. There's no greater Gehenim, there's no greater torture in this world than to see a person's children suffer. And people did this on a voluntary basis for Avodah Zarah. It's totally nonsense.
This was done until almost 200 years ago.
They're still doing this. Okay, so that's why we take this in a healthy, normal person's mind. It's the most horrifying thing, and we who have to borrow terms to understand what is, we don't know what a Gehenim is. It's not possible for a human being to understand what is Gehenim, but we take something that is the most, the greatest torture in this world, we borrow as an example of what is spiritual torture. And the greatest physical torture that we appreciate in this world is to see a child suffer in such a way, to take a child and to burn a child like they did, like what's done over here. I will you diminish what it did exactly. In the fire, Begay then Hinnom. What else did he did? The Onain, V'nicheish, V'chisheif, Alamailas. He mamish, there was nothing he didn't try. There's Onain and there's Nicheish, Kisheif. We don't know what these things are. Speak to the dead. All different types of Kechas of Tum and black magic. He did all these things. V'osso oiv, V'yidoini. Here belasso sarah be'inei Hashem. He increased to evil the eyes of Hashem. In the eyes of Hashem, lahachiso, to anger. What else did he do? He also went vayosem espesel hasemel asher osa. He stationed an idol, pesel hasemel. Semel is a semel, a more precise translation, the Masuda says, tsurama. It's the form of something. And a pesel is an image of a representative of the Zara. He took an idol and he put it, asher osa, bebeis walakim, inside the base Hamigdash itself, Asher Amar Elokim El David VeEl Shlomo VeNo BaBayis Hazeh UYishalayim Asher Becharti Mikol Shivtei Yisrael Osim Eshmi LeElom. A very unusual word, LeElom. There's a yud here, forever. And in the place where Hashem said, "My name will be forever," He introduced another idol. V'loy oisif lahasir es regel. What did Hashem promise David or Shlomo? Hashem promised, "Loy oisif lahasir es regel Yisrael me'al adama. I will no longer remove the foot of Yisrael from upon the earth. Asher hemati lavo sechem. I established for the forefathers rock one condition. Im yishmeru lasois es kol asher tzivisim. If they'll list what I commanded them. Ulechol atorah v'achukim v'mishpatim abiyad Moshe." But unfortunately, all of these beautiful brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised David, Shlomo, and our avos, he lacked hakaras hatoif. He angered Hashem in this very. You want to worship Avodah Zarah? Just don't do it here. Do it somewhere else. Don't anger Hashem in the place where Hashem promised Klal Yisrael the bracha. Don't do it. He didn't care. He had tremendous wickedness with him. Vayesa Menashe, he misled, he misguided. Vayesa Hoylich Oysam Bederech Toya, he misguided them. Es Yehuda V'Yosha Yishlaim La'asos Ra Minagoyim Asher Hishmin Hashem Ibnei Meishol, to do evil more than the Goyim. More than the Goyim Asher Hishmin Hashem Hashem Dishrom Ibnei Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so let's see here some of the mitzvahs, some of the midrashim, some interesting things. Yeah?
Interesting thing. Whatever Menashe did was an addition. In other words, he brought in his Mizbeach.
Okay.
But he didn't eliminate the existing Mizbeach. Everything.
So in a way that's worse, because that's an act of rebellion. It's one thing to make believe that God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist.
Maybe he was hedging his bets.
Okay, so we had that by Ochos.
Huh.
There was such a concept that there was some degree of respect. But by Menashe, I think Chazal used the term Yodea, by Nimrod, he knows his master, Umeschaven Limroidbo, and he has Kavana to rebel against him. It's not, it appears from the gist of the Tzukim, it's not that you don't count. You're not important. That's
eliminated.
No, it's I know you exist. I want to lahachis. I want to anger you. I want to show you. I know Hashem, you exist. You created the world. You're here. But I want to purposely anger you by bringing Avodah Zarah and rebelling against you. That's a much greater degree of wickedness. That was Nimrod. Yodea es, what was the expression? He knows his master, Meschavein Limroid Bo, and has intent to rebel against him. Hashem, I know you're here. Your Mizbeach is here, your Oren is here, but nevertheless, Lahachas, I'm going to bring in an oil and worship the oil and get you angry. It's a technique. It's a technique. You ever had a bad job, and you had a bad job, and you had some competition, and they want to get you, they do things like that. They bring in other people. I had an experience like that. I worked with someone, and someone didn't like me, so they brought in some competition just to show me up a little bit, so I should get angry and I should leave. So, did I? Well, I needed the money, so I couldn't leave so fast. But the whole business anyway went down the drain, so we both left together. We all left together anyway at the end. But it's a very powerful, technique, and that it's a very high level degree of wickedness. And this is what Menashe is doing. So let's see the Mitzvahs in Rashi very quickly. Pasuk Dala Shomar Kiilu Hamikra Koyvel Alav Lomar Rohu Ma'os. The pasuk is complaining. It's a very interesting thing. We don't have this in Malachim. We have here this is a new theme. We had this already the last 2-3 prokim. This idea with Rashi says the same exact thing. Now the Mitzvahs, he joins the conversation. He says the same expression. Sefer Divrei Hayamim is whining. It's complaining. It's winding down. Oi, look at this, look at this, look at this. It's, you don't really get that in Tanakh. Tanakh is not a whine. They don't complain, but here it's complaining. B'Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. B'Beis Hashem Hashem Yerushalayim, B'Shtei Chatzeres, as Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, B'Hu Hevir, B'Hu Avodas HaMelech. This was Melech, which is much more detailed than Sefer Melachim. Now, going back to the time of Ochaz, Melech did not start out like this. Moilich was just an Avodah Zarah. It was an Avodah Zarah like other Avodah Zarahs. It was a statue, and it had hands, right? It had hands, and you put down, you offer different, you would offer on the hands different sacrifices. But at a later point in time, they went Meshuggah. And what do? They heated the hands of the Moilich, of this idol, to burning temperatures. It was burning hot. And they would put children on the hands of this Avodah Zarah, and to drown out the cries of the child, they would play drums, so the parents should not hear, and they would tell the parents, oh, now you go to Elam Haba. You go to Elam Haba for offering a sacrifice to this God. It's a total mishagas. The Medrash says that it describes it in much more detail. Maybe let me read you very quickly the Medrash. This is the Medrash of Tanchuma. Okay, so it's not such an esoteric Medrash. It's a mainstream Medrash. Describes Moloch in more detail. The Ketzad Hoya HaMoloch Begay Ben Hinam. What exactly was the process? Hoya also Chutz Liushalayim Mokum Mufla Gavoya. It was a very high place, a very high hill. The Tselem Hoya. What was Moloch? Moloch was nothing more than an idol. It was a Tselem. Uponav Shel Egel, and its face looked like a calf, like the Egel Hazav. And it had hands. The Yadav Pshutois Ka'odam Shepaseach Yadav Lekabel Dav Michaveroi. And this image had hands extending from it, like it's willing to accept. V'hoyu masikino so, and they ignite these hands. And Shayadaim Nasin Chamim Ke'esh. Okay, next. V'shiva Kin Kolim Hoyulo. Kin Kolim means tunnels. To come to the hands, I guess it was a very elaborate stage to get up there were seven different entrances, seven different booths to go up to the place where you come to the hands. So you come there to the Gabai, you buy a ticket. You buy a ticket to go up to the hands and to put your sacrifice on these two burning hands. So you buy, and if you're cheap, you only want to give $10. So your ticket only allows you to go entrance number one. Pay a little bit more money, entrance number two. And of course, you know, the photographers take pictures to go home and show everyone, look at me, I went entrance number three, four, five. You know, the more, whichever number entrance you go, the more chashev you are. Mi shemakriv oif, if you're cheap, right, you're a cheapo, only thing you can afford is a bird. So how much does it cost today to buy a whole chicken? Whole chicken, what's the price, Rav Meir?
$8?
If all you can afford is $8, so new, that's a kosher chicken. Why a non-kosher chicken?
Live chicken doesn't know if it's kosher or not.
Well, they told us in Empire that it costs Empire 25 cents to manufacture a bird. Each live bird.
25 cents?
So you go from 20, pretty good profit, right? From 25 cents to selling it in Glatmart for $8, $9, not bad. Of course, I mean, there's all the costs that go into the whole the factory, all the workers, I mean, it's a whole long process. But they told us it costs 25 cents for them to produce the bird that comes to Pennsylvania in that crate. Each bird, they have paid 25 cents. That's not so big, considering that it had to be fed for six, seven weeks, and transported on a trailer for who knows how many miles, and a lot of things had to be done to it. 25 cents is not so big, but then when you consider they have hundreds of thousands of them all lined up, maybe it is. And from that 25 cents, it turns into whatever it is, $7, $8, $9, $10. Yeah. So mi shemakrif oif nichnas la'uevi, if you only can afford to buy a bird, $5. Okay, entrance number one. You go in tunnel number one. A's, oh, a goat, oh, a gvir, right, a shtukl gvir, a goat. So nichnas lakin kol hasheni, seh, a sheep, talking business now, shlishi, egel, remember that's the same tzura as the molech, yeah? The molech also looks like an egel. Four, par, that's expensive, okay, we're talking big bucks, par is $1,000, par l'chamishi, shor is an axe, it's the sec, is the shishi. Gone through all the different areas. Shishi is a shor, an axe. So par. And what was shlishi? What was shlishi? Shlishi was the ega. Shlishi was the se. Okay. So you call fine. Mi shemakav benoi. The person comes, my child. Rachmana Latzlan. Then Aimrim Hakumarim ki ein lamala himenu. You bring your child. Oh, this is the best. You go through entrance number 7, special tunnel to get to the place where you deposit your child. Hayenichnas lefnimin hakin kol hashvi. You go into number 7. Now what would you do? Vayholich v'noik show. This is the process. The whole process. You come to the melech and you kiss it. You have to first kiss the Moloch. Shenemar, Zoivchei Odom Agolim Yishokun. Pasuk in Hosea, those who sacrifice human beings, kiss them. What do you kiss them? You kiss Zoivchei Odom Kama Agolim Yishokun. People who sacrifice human beings, kiss calves. Now what does that mean? So you probably can say, Alderch Pshat, like, I don't know if you ever saw people, they kiss their dogs. Ever see on the street people, they're in love with their dogs, they kiss them. They would never kiss a human being like that. But a dog they kiss, so their whole perspective in life is totally corrupt. It's corrupt. If you're kissing a dog with such ahava, who knows what they'll do? Watch out for these people. They'll go and they'll kill human beings. They'll have animal rights, but human beings, they have no rights. That's Poshup Shot. But the Chazal Darshan, Melech looks like an egel. That's what the tzur of Melech. So people that sacrifice their children, before you sacrifice the child, the custom was to kiss the face of the egel, which is the face of Melech. Then they would take the child, They would put the baby on the hands of the on Moilich. Then they would right away dismiss the parents, and they would bang with drums. And then the child would burn. It would melt. The child would melt due to the heat of the fire. And it would cry. Until the child would die. Menashe himself did this to his own children. That's how wicked he was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the many Marei Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing Hashem hates more than this, this form of Avodah Zarah. And that's how the Medrash Tanhuma describes the procedure, and Menashe was an expert in this form of Avodah Zarah, and it was considered to be detestable. Let's turn up the Mitzudos. The Beis Pasek Zayin, the Beis Pesel, HaSemel Shasa Shava Beis Olakim.
Menashe
had no children. Had Amon, he left one over. He left over Amon. Amon became his successor. After 55 years, he took his place. He was even more wicked. Amon was even a bigger rush. He poured into the Kodesh HaKadosh. And Menashe had the chutzpah to anger Hashem by bringing Avodah Zarah into the chutzar, into the heichal. Amon brought in Avodah Zarah into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Amon took his own mother, brought her into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and had marital relations with her. So there was no one worse than Amon, was the worst of the worst. He only survived for 2 years. Then he was murdered by his own people. They killed him. They killed Le'elam and Kamor Le'olam. Pasuk Ches in the Mitzudos Le'Yosef Gam Zebedivri Hashem Shem Alev L'Shlomo Menagoyim Yosef Menagoyim. Okay, Rashi, very quickly, Rashi says here in Pasuk, no, we'll leave the Rashi for next time because there's something we want to discuss. But this was Menashe. Let's conclude just one short point. We'll do the Rashi next time. Is that there's Machlokes in the Gemara of Menashe has a Chelek in Olam Haba. The Gemara Mishnah says that Menashe, there are three kings that do not have Chelek Olam Haba. Who are they? Yeravam ben Nevat. He was the one that broke off from Rechavam. He really started out good. I mean, a little good. I mean, it was not, but he totally went sugar, and he has no Chelek. Achav was also Ein Chelek, and then Menashe. And then the Gemara says, "V'yesh arim." Some say Menashe does have a chek. Menashe did tshuva, and we're going to learn about them this parak. This parak presents Menashe did indeed do tshuva, and one opinion says he does have a chelik nil maba. And this is very interesting. Rabbi Eisenman makes this point. He really brings it out very, very powerful, very powerful way. There's a very, very big difference in the way we present Menashe and Sefer Divrei Hayamim versus Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim. The emphasis, by and large, is on the wickedness, the rishis of Menashe. Menashe was the worst of the worst. Very few psukim, just a small amount, is devoted to the fact that he did tshuva at the end of his life. He tried, he did tshuva, he was about to die, he was taken to Bavel, he was captured, and at the very end he did tshuva, and Hashem listened to his prayers, and Hashem let him be restored. It's a very small part of Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Divrei Hayam, it's just the opposite. We've just concluded, we've said some very powerful psukim about his rishis, but that's it. It's very small compared to what it says in Melachim. And the rest of the perek really highlights in a very great way, he did tshuva. He did tshuva, he repented, and it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to very large degree, accepted his tshuva. So he says, now obviously, for the purpose of Sefer Divrei Hayamim, purpose of it, which is a motivational safe for people living 500 years later, you're not writing, you're not trying to humiliate them. And people did terrible sins. We know that there was a lot of intermarriage, and there were a lot of very big problems. And obviously, Ezra Nechem, you're not trying to demoralize people, you're trying to inspire them, to motivate them. Do tshuva, it's not over, there's always help. So it's very obvious, Pshut Shel Mikra, that Ezra Nechem, you're going to highlight the nihilus of Menashe. He did tshuva. Hashem accepted his tshuva, and the Nela, this hope for Klal Yisrael, do tshuva, come back to build the Bayis Shane. That's Poshup Shat. But he also says something in a very interesting, a very fascinating idea, which you can probably use in other examples as well. There's a machlekes in the Gemara. There's a machlekes in machlekes Tanoim. Does Menashe have a chelek in Olam Haba? One opinion says he has no chelek in Olam Haba, even though he did tshuva. The tshuva was just very superficial. It was just for the time. It was just whatever the reasons were.
It was
forever. And he's gone. Whatever it says here that he did whatever. But he has no chelek. Other people says no. He does have a chelek in Olam Haba. So he says an amazing idea. Sefer Melachim was written by people, by Nevi'im. Nevi'im who follow the Shita of the Tana, even though it's reverse chronological order, who hold Ein Loi Chelek L'Olam Haba. Sefer Divrei Hayom was written by the Tanoim, by the Shita of the Tanoim. I'm just telling you, they're telling you Shitas which already existed before them, of the Shita that Menashe does have a Chelek L'Olam Haba. It's amazing what he's doing. He's taking different sections of Tanakh and he's presenting them as two Shitas. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. The Tanoim, Rabbi of Kasher, of Mendel Kasher, in the Torah Shlema has a massive kuntres. A lot of little kuntres him, where he shows that basically every machlokes Tanoim is rooted in machlokes and Targumim. We have three Targumim. Targum Unkelus, Targum Yonasim, and New Zealand Targum Yushalmi. He shows, gives many examples. Read the Targum very carefully. There's such small nuances of difference of language, of expression. You'll find the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is rooted in Machlokes Unkelus and Targum Yonasim in New Zealand. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir, Machlokes Talmud Yushalmi and Talmud and Unkelus. It's already there. The Messiah of the different approaches. The Nevi'im, now we're going back even further. Then the Targumim.
Hillel preceded
Yonasim and Zeal. Okay, right. But it's okay. It depends, right?
Yeah,
but you have this idea, an incredible idea. Even the people who composed the actual Nevi'im and Ksuvim, they're taking sides. They're taking sides in Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. What does it mean exactly? Does he have a chelek? Is not a chelek? Maybe it means there is some truth to both, whatever that means. But it's a fascinating approach to look at different sections of Tanakh, which are presented different. They're being presented lefi a shita in a Gemara, which expresses an approach to understand the essence of the person. Now once we have that yesod, that's an opening for us, because now you can go to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah in Sanper Chelek, and you can learn that. And there are many very deep approaches to understand who was Menashe, what exactly is the depth of the Machlokes. If he has a chelek, does he not have a chelek? And then we can go back into the psukim and see how it fits the two different approaches. Okay, that's an idea we'll leave with, we'll stop with.